What a testimony about God's ability to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or imagine according to the power that dwells in us. When His church makes up their mind, they are going to get serious and pray. How many people here are prayer warriors? How many people want to get serious about God? How many people yearn inside to say, man, I want to pray and see stuff happen? Praise God. Count me in. Count me in. And after all the irony, you know, the girl leaving him at the gate and all this kind of stuff, the verse that jumps out in this entire passage is verse 5, where it says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Now, this is an interesting word. This really gets down to the meat of what we're talking about today. Constant prayer. This word constant is an interesting word. I didn't think so until I read this. I mean, I wasn't really fond of it in particular over any other word. But really, when you study this, man, this is a fascinating word. Constant prayer. Now, some other versions of the Bible have translated this Greek word in different ways. They have called it persistent prayer, fervent prayer, earnest prayer, strenuous prayer, unremitting prayer. What does unremitting mean? I looked it up. Unremitting means not stopping, relaxing, or slackening, but incessant and relentless. That is serious prayer. Relentless, incessant prayer that does not give up, that goes on and pursues the object of its desire. Does that sound like our prayers? When we think of our prayer life, is that the kind of prayer that comes to our mind? Do we say, wow, man, I was fervent last night in prayer. Boy, man, I even shut the TV off. Wow, man, whole neighborhood got warm when I was praying last night. Man, the heat and the power. Do we pray fervently? Have we reached that place where we can say, man, my prayers are constant. They are relentless. They are fervent. They are persistent. They are unremitting. Wow. Now, this word constant that we said means all these different things. It's actually a Greek word. It means ektenos. And it comes from a similar word, a root word, ektenes. And it's basically a medical term. It means stretching a muscle out to the point of its maximum limit. Okay, it's a medical term. And this kind of, I can relate to that. Ektenos. Everybody say ektenos. Say it again like you mean it. Ektenos. Yeah, buddy. I'm talking about ektenos prayer. Now, yeah, preach it. Now, this ektenos prayer that we're talking about, it says it's a medical term, like a muscle stretching out to its maximum limit. I can relate to that because this past Thursday I was in the gym and I was just, you know, kind of putzing around like I do. And this, you know, young strapping guy that looks like I'd like to look like in 10 years comes walking up to me and says, hey, buddy, can you spot me for a minute over on this bench press? You know, and I'm kind of a jovial guy. I'm like, sure, what the heck? Okay. So we walk across there, and as he gets under this weight, I tell him, you know, I have this confession. By the way, I have never spotted anybody before, so you sure you want to go on? He's like, yeah. So I'm like, what the heck? Okay, it's your rib cage. So he gets this thing. It looks like it's about 200 pounds. I think it had like two of the 45-pounder things on each side. What is it? 225 because of the bar. Okay.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Man, God is really giving you guys insight today. So he gets this thing. He says, I'm going to do about 6 reps. I'm like, okay, you know, knock yourself out. I'll help. I didn't really say that. I was thinking that. So he goes, you know, he lifts this thing up off the thing, and he, you know, the first couple are, he's going pretty good, you know, no problem at all. He starts to slow down, you know, 4 is a little slower, 5, 6 is a little bit slower, and he gets this idea in his mind, he's going to go for 7. So he goes for 7, and that's a little bit slower. You know, he can see he's really, his face is starting to turn red, and he gets it up there, and he's thinking, well, you know what, I'm going to go for 8. So then he goes for eight, and like his face is like, you know, he's just like grimacing. It's like, ah, and his hands are kind of shaking, and he goes up and he goes for eight, you know, and I'm kind of putting my arms underneath of this thing, and I'm praying, oh, God. You know. And he gets eight. And then I'm ready to help him put it back on the little cup holder things that, you know, or barbell holders, whatever it is. And he goes all the way down to his chest. He's going for nine. I'm like, oh, man. So I'm like ectanos prayer. I'm like, oh, please, God, you know, don't let him drop this thing. We're all going to die. And he goes, and, man, he is just pushing. He's just like, and he gets one side a little higher, and he gets the other side up, and his hands are shaking. His face is going to explode. You know, I figure it's going to, you know, I'm going to see the back of his face on the ceiling in a minute. And he's pushing on that thing. And he gets it up, and he gets his arms finally extended, and then he goes back and puts it back on the barbell holder. I'm like, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. Like, yeah, like I would have grabbed that thing. The way that he approached his bench press, that was ectanos weightlifting. His muscles stretched to their maximum limit. That is the way we ought to pray. That's the way we ought to pray. Not like I was praying behind him. Hear that wimpy little, oh God, please don't let him drop it. But that passionate, fervent, persistent, unrelenting effort. Because we are literally lifting spiritual weight in our prayers. That's exactly what we are doing. We are stretching. When we are doing this kind of prayer, this intercession, we stretch ourselves to the max and pour ourselves out in prayer to God. Praise God. That's the way these people in this passage were approaching their prayer. They were unrelenting. They were like this weightlifting guy. They were stretching themselves to the max, pouring out their hearts to God for Peter. They were determined. They were determined to touch God with their cries for help. And God rewarded them amazingly. Some of you guys might remember Moses. Back in the Old Testament, when there was this battle, Israel was fighting against this guy Amalek and his soldiers, and it was a place called Rephidim. And Moses was literally stretching out his hands as he prayed for the battle. Stretching out, just like the word ektenos. And as his hands were stretched out, as long as he stretched out his hands and prayed, Israel prevailed in battle. But as his arms got tired and began to come down, Israel began to lose the battle. Exodus 17:11, it says, "And so it was, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." I guess Aaron and Hur were Moses' spotters. You know, his arms got a little shaky. Oh, God, I don't think I can pray anymore. And he came along, and one on one side, one on the other, and held up his hands and spotted him as he was pressing himself out beyond measure in prayer for Israel to prevail in battle. So Moses prayed with ektenos prayer, unrelenting, persistently, constantly, and as long as he did, Israel prevailed in battle. And brothers, we are fighting a spiritual warfare in which we also need to prevail in battle. There was a battle going on that night with Peter in this passage. And the forces of hell were attempting to do violence against him and against the church. It was a dangerous situation. This spirit of violence that was operating in Herod and manipulating him and his soldiers was trying to do violence against Peter, but God's people were prevailing in prayer. They were violently taking the kingdom by force, and they began to prevail against Herod because of this intercessory ektenos prayer until the battle was won. Praise God. Now you might say, oh, I don't know, what battle are you talking about, John? I really don't see a battle there. I mean, you know, Peter was in there. They prayed. God sent his angel. What battle? The angel, basically, angel went in, got him out, set him free. What battle is that? Well, I'll tell you what battle that is. You guys might remember a guy named Daniel back in the Old Testament who was faced with some very pressing, serious issues back then, and he set himself to pray. And as soon as he set his heart to seek God fervently with unrelenting prayer, God sent an angel to deliver his answer. However, how long did it take, for those who remember, how long did it take the angel to reach Daniel? 21 days. Daniel prayed, God answered, he sent his angel to deliver the answer, but the angel couldn't get there for 21 days. Why? He was held up by demons. Spiritual warfare. As the angel was sent by God, Scripture says the prince of Persia, in other words, the spiritual entity that was over the kingdom of Persia, the principality and power and the demonic forces that were there, withstood this angel sent by God heading for Daniel. And there was spiritual warfare and battle taking place in the spirit, in the heavenly realm. And as Daniel continued to pray, and as far as Daniel knew, his prayers weren't answered yet. But he continued to pray, unrelenting, unremitting, just pressing on, calling out to God. And the power that was released through that was able to strengthen those angels. God sent another angel, Michael, to come alongside and help him. And he got the demonic forces out of the way until the angel was able to finally come to Daniel 3 weeks later. Now, thank God these guys were praying. Thank God the church was praying for Peter, because if they hadn't, I don't think Peter had 21 days to wait.